For our annual commitment retreat last week, we gathered at the Franciscan Shrine of St. Anthony up the road. In our circle at the end of our retreat, Rick Miller offered a reflection. He gave thanks for the day at the shrine, and he was thankful for the chance each year to go off campus. This year, he gave thanks for the shrine buildings, the hospitality, and the rolling farms of the country. He also then paused to give thanks for the return that would happen the next day, last Sunday, as we came back to this barn and set out on another year with a return to our spiritual home. We were on pilgrimage last weekend, friends, whether you were there in body or in spirit. And being on pilgrimage has the power to remind us of the holiness that exists in other holy places among other holy traditions. We sat in a place where so many have prayed, where many from this congregation have visited over the years, soaking in the joys of the place. And we looked out on the open sky that kissed the natural beauty of God, wind-swept autumn trees dancing. Time away from a home often helps us to see our space anew. It helps us to understand our building anew, but also the internal blueprint God is in the process of reconfiguring. As we discussed on retreat, old wineskins, the recipes of wine, the essence of community life are necessary for understanding the new forms that mature into being. Like the return community of Haggai, we at Kittamakundi have lost our original members. We, like them, still have the stories that are coming down to us in the writings from that time. We have pictures. We have some who knew them, and we have many who came not long after those originators. We know that the Israelites worshipped among the stones and the rubble left from Solomon's temple, and we worship here among the stones placed here more than 200 years ago. In this year of Jubilee, we have asked about the stones that are still speaking, the voices that come to us down from generation unto generation. When we think of our own physical structure, we wonder, does it speak to the world that God is here? Does our barn whisper and shout and let folks know that the Spirit of the living God is present in this place? Does it speak through the indigenous who resided on this land? Does it speak through the enslaved stone builders? Does it speak through the animals, the horses that were housed here as a manger? Does it speak the vision of our founders and the subsequent voices that have shaped what it means to be Kittamakundi community? We live in a different time than the founders of Kittamakundi. We have fixed the roof. Thank you, all of those that came before to do that. Many of you here. We've added an elevator. Thank you for all the people that can come and be present as a result of being able to be elevated up this flight. We changed the lights. We have a parking lot project by which our parking lot lights will be changed in the weeks to come so that we can see when the nighttime comes. Thank you, God. We have lived into structures and calls and missions and focus groups. We have cared for one another. We have reached out time and time again in love. Will our building and rebuilding reach its end, we ask, in order to carry the story of God forward? In this season, we ask about whether we dare to commit again. What does the courage of God mean when it takes up residence in our hearts and in our space, when our destiny connects to the remnant destiny of all God's people who have had to rebuild and rebuild again? New leaders come alongside the more seasoned builders, and we are all pilgrims of God, putting forth new plans and designs. Where does Haggai still sit among us? What has been started, perhaps, and unfinished? What is being burgeoned in your heart but not spoken to as of yet? What ingredients are being powerfully mixed together, ready for an aliveness and a tasting that we might all enjoy in community as your call? The old foundation makes an opening for us in this next jubilee, as brilliant as the gold of 50 years remembrance, and perhaps as brilliant as the gold and silver that Haggai speaks of in his day, which will come and be a sign of God's continual favor and presence with a loving people. As we think about our physical space, we give thanks that the Willowbrook Art Show took place this past weekend. I got to come at the end of that Friday night and see the people milling about, soaking in the beautiful gifts of those and their artistry. But don't you love sometimes coming into this building when it has been transformed into some kind of new space? I have been at weddings, I have been at memorials, I've been at art shows, I've been at poetry readings in this space, and I love that each new group that comes in has the space to feel at home in our home. And so many sacred acts of God's living power are taking space on our buildings and our grounds. It's the hospitality and the vulnerability of an open people who say, in this Jubilee, what's ours is yours. What God has put forth is also your resource. And so, yes, I have sat downstairs when some wedding couple is moving something large and I hear a loud thump and I sense that there are a couple of crumbs of the ceiling that come down and I say, Lord, get me out of here because I love this space too much and I want everyone to treat it as gingerly and lovingly as we might. For we come in on Sunday morning and there may be a new spot of wine on the carpet and there may be something off space. We might be looking and searching for our candles or figuring out a way to dislodge the piano from a random corner of this sanctuary. And yet we know that it is love. It's a love that breaks forth because we allow this space to speak of the power of God. Sometimes we wish more people knew about it, yes. How many conversations have you had when someone says, oh, I've lived in Columbia, fill in the blank, 50 years, and I've never been down Vantage Point Road to find your barn? Or, I didn't even know that was a church. It just looked like some stone structure there. But we know. We know that the wine that is spilled forth, we know that the lives have been transformed. We know that our place is an ongoing place in which we would want people, generation upon generation, and yes, younger folk alike, with the olders and the elders, to speak and to help us in these blueprints. Where the wine vat's going to go? Where's that wine press going to continue to be housed? How are we going to continue with the maturation of our fields and our grapes so that what we've got going here will speak to the aliveness of our remnant God, who keeps breathing through the scripture and demanding of us to carry the torch, to carry the wine, to use whichever metaphor you like. I like metaphors, if you haven't noticed. Thank you for swimming in them with me. We are here, friends, and with our aliveness, there are so many that yet are set to be touched. I didn't ask her permission, but there was one who was worshiping with us at retreat and indicated that it's been a long and tough season in which she has missed her large family in another state. She gives thanks for the sense of connectedness that this community shares and the opening she feels as we in the spiritual home greet her where she is on her journey. And I hope this is because this newcomer to her community senses this home and hominess, but also because she sees an opening about the value that she would bring to community. Because we all have an opportunity to bring our gifts for the uplift of what we can do together. And can't you imagine the beautiful textured experience we know it to be when we are not just vulnerable as a people, but come believing that God has gifted us, that we might take courage and have a sense of worthiness about where God calls us to be. For some, the return from Babylon is the navigation from cancer to remission. For some, the reestablishment of Jerusalem is the rebuilding that comes post-divorce as you discover yourself again. For many, the rebuilding of the temple, the uplift of community, is the remembrance that our siloed houses in this weary world, friends, is not enough to sustain us when tribulation inevitably comes. It is the refuge when our planet capsizes. It is the planting ground from which we would emerge ready to be a launch pad of hope in this time of urgency. And we pray this very day that those who come to share in what is our home would know God that is still speaking among us, a pilgrim people. We pray that all who come here not only witness the courage of builders, but become the courageous builders ready to be equipped in persistent activity of God. We return and emerge from our barn with the confidence that life is not just happening out there, but that we are the integrated building blocks, which we take our home, our spiritual barn, with us. May we continue to return with the spirit of hopefulness. For Haggai is still speaking, and we need that courageous temptation to live into the irresistible love of God. This week, Haggai was speaking as I was working with others in the community to try to get a job description for our new Sunday school teacher. For when we're talking about generation to generation, we hope that somebody will come into our midst that also feels a call upon their heart to help integrate our intergenerational activity and help equip and prepare our young persons for what is ahead as they face the challenges of this world. So friends, as we would move into a time of reflection and community response together, and then into prayer that Vicki would lead us into, please be in prayer for this job description. But more importantly, be in prayer for the Sunday school teacher who is yet out there, who we desperately need to come as a buoy and support for our young persons. There are parents in this room who continue to be attracted to this space because of this life-giving nature, this character, this love. And they come and they stay because not only are we, as a parent, I can say this, being edified by being in community, but we desperately pray that this community continues to speak on behalf of, in and through, our children. And so as we continue to think about our disciplines and the commitment season that is ahead, I encourage you to visit the Wall of Leadership. There's worship task group opportunities, even if you've never served before. There's opportunities, once you've done a little bit of vetting with a background check, to be a Sunday school friend who's taking time to sit among the blocks of children as they help us to know how to put one block on top of another. And there's the opportunity to serve in a leadership capacity and on council. I deeply hope you'll take these things, these opportunities for service and discernment, into your hearts and ask what the blueprints are for the journey ahead. We've got the basket. Yes, I'm going to actually go walk over the basket. There are commitment forms. I see some have already put them in today. There's commitment pledge forms, for which I know the financial leadership team is always grateful to receive in a early way. But we put it here, not because we always have it figured out or because it's equally balanced and looks just perfect, but just quite the opposite. As we turn ourselves over in vulnerability from year to year, not because we've got all of the perfect things to say on our form, but because we say something on our form, even if it's, God, use me. And we trust with each other that it's not about checking off a mark, it's not about living into rigidity, but it's about offering ourselves what we have into what we can be together. In these next few moments of silence, I would just invite you to continue to ask, what is it, O God, Holy Spirit, that you would have me be about in our construction? And we'll go around and share if there's a moment on your heart, something that the Spirit is urging you to speak on behalf of yourself, but also as you speak it into community, we'll invite that. So take just a few moments now as we prayerfully reflect together.